Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This year, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the blog, and there are a lot of exciting things in the works. From new music here on the podcast to a new look on the website, I can't wait to share everything with you. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mention. This episode is sponsored by Swank K-12 Streaming. Swank K-12 Streaming offers exclusive access to a streaming library of over 30,000 movies, documentaries, and foreign language films. If you're not familiar with Swank, they partner with the largest movie studios in the world to provide films like 12 Angry Men, The Great Gatsby, Inside Out, and An Inconvenient Truth for teachers to incorporate into their lessons. Swank K-12 Streaming makes it easy for teachers to show movies in the classroom or assign out to students without the challenge of managing DVD players or blocked personal streaming accounts in the classroom. Visit swank.com/K-12Streaming to browse movie collections or email k12streaming@swankmp.com for ideas on teaching with movies. This week's episode is titled, How EdTech Connects to Climate Change Education, with Dr. Jennifer Williams. I am very excited to have Jen join today to unpack this idea of climate change education and explain the role education technology plays. As you'll hear in this episode, there are many different connections to cross-curricular activities, social-emotional learning goals, media literacy skills, and more. Jen and I first connected on Twitter several years ago. It's been a while, and we spent lots of time chatting about EdTech at conferences, and I just can't wait for you to learn about her work and listen in to our conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you on today. And before we jump in to talk all things climate change education together, can you share a little bit about your role in education and what your day-to-day looks like?
Hi, Monica. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Jennifer Williams, and thank you for having me on today to talk about climate education and the work that we're doing connecting with teachers around the world. So I am the co-founder, co-executive director of Take Action Global, and we have the opportunity to work with teachers from over 145 countries all around the world who are also passionate about finding ways to use EdTech to connect our students and take action for the planet.
Wonderful. Well, I know I mentioned in the intro just that you and I have known each other for a long time now, you know, first connecting on social and then through different projects and different work that we do together. And I know that this area of climate change education has always been a focus for you or a passionate, you know, part of your work. And because we're talking about this idea today of climate change education, can you just tell us a little bit about what this looks like in practice? Are there trends you've observed around climate change education in different parts of the country? Just help us kind of unpack that term.
So for me, I mean, my background's actually in English. So I have been a literacy specialist, speech language pathologist. So by trade, climate really wasn't my area of focus. So I'm newer to this, which I think is also reflective of what we're seeing in climate change education. So climate change, I think we all right now around the world are seeing that this is the defining issue of our time. I think our students in our classrooms are feeling that. They're expressing it. They're coming to us. And what I'm finding with the work I do with teachers is that a lot of them are coming to this conversation with a lot of uncertainty. Like, I'm not an expert in climate change. Science isn't my background. Maybe they're like me, an English teacher. But what I'm finding is this is absolutely the optimal situation for us to do what we've been wanting to do in teaching and learning. It gives us this opportunity to join in as co-learners. So we can approach climate change education through this new lens of learning. We can say, all right, how can we approach these new questions? Where do we go to for research? It's not the traditional way of teaching. When I started as a classroom teacher, here's your box curriculum and press go. And you need to kind of be on chapter 3 by November. This gives us this moment where it's all hands-on. We can take action and it's interdisciplinary. So a lot like reading. So when I was talking to teachers 15 years ago, like every teacher is a reading teacher. I think we're seeing right now that any teacher can be a climate change educator and a climate action educator because it crosses science and humanities and arts. We're seeing some really cool things coming out of the arts classroom. So there's a place for everyone in this conversation around climate change. We're also seeing our students rise up. I think they're taking positions as experts themselves. They have been living with these topics their whole lives, kind of like technology. It's like we have tech and we have climate. And this collision of the two is this great moment for us in education. And so it's this bottom up where we're seeing students and teachers. Some of our teachers we work with, they may be the only teachers in their school, some of them the only teachers in their communities, and the early adopters, the early teachers in even their states. So we have teachers kind of leading that movement, and now states on board as well, which I know, you know, you being in New Jersey, New Jersey has mandated climate education for all. So we're seeing states start to pick up on that. And so it's a really exciting time for us to all be a part of building that out. I'll be a part of figuring out what do we want climate education to look like moving forward.
Gosh, I just love that idea of co-learning and the emphasis that you can place on learning together with students and those cross-curricular connections, which I think are so present when you're thinking of what types of texts to choose or what social studies connections to make. And I taught at a school that became a magnet school for environmental stewardship. So we were really revamping our whole curriculum to say, what are our themes? What can we do across different content areas? So I think that, you know, the emphasis you place both on the co-learning, because I know that was a co-learning experience for me, for sure, to introduce new topics, but also that cross-curricular connection is so important. And, you know, on the podcast, we talk a lot about ways to make ed tech easier or to look at ed tech through different lenses. And where does ed tech come into play when talking about climate change education? How do digital tools or how can digital tools support this work?
So for us, in our work with Take Action Global, we started as an online nonprofit organization. So everything for us is in a virtual space using EdTech tools. So that was, for us, something we needed to consider from the beginning. Like, how are we going to connect with our teachers? How can we make sure that we have equitable experiences for all? We're not just within the United States. We are all around. We're across every single continent at this point. So for us, it really becomes around access, access to ideas, access to information, and access to opportunities. And those are the things we're always considering and how can technology aid in that. So for instance, when we think about ideas and information, we have some of our schools are very well resourced. I was visiting a school a few weeks ago and they're 2-to-1 for every single student in the school. They have awesome Wi-Fi connection. They have school to home programs. So they're in a really good spot. But then we have schools within the United States and abroad that are only working with a teacher's cell phone. Like that's the only tech tool they have. So I think for us, it's how can we use the tools that are in the hands of our students to position them as knowledge constructors? Because as I mentioned previously, a lot of this work isn't out there. So our teachers and students are able to create it. And then we're using that technology to bring them together in a shared experience. So we just came off of the Climate Action Project a few months ago, and that was a 6-week project dedicated all to climate change and climate action education. And so we were able to use technology for things, of course, like access to the information. So here are some really great resources from our vetted experts like WWF and NASA and the UN. But then we were able to say, now let's find ways to connect. So we were engaging our students in class-to-class virtual exchanges, which I know you do a lot of, and it's so powerful when you can bring people who look and live differently together to create. We had mentorship opportunities. So as students were moving through that 6-week process, at the end, they were able to say, okay, we have these ideas, but we need some feedback. Mm-hmm. And so we would connect them with some of our interns. And so these are people who are fresh out of high school, and they could give some really nice ideas back to the students. And so not just like, you know, here we want you to use tech to consume, which is mm-hmm. also, right. you know, possible and can have its place. But really for us, it's how can we use tech to create and connect?
Yeah. And just using those tools that students already have access to, whether it's a mobile device, whether it's that tablet, or they're in a 2-to-1 environment, or kind of all the different ranges, like you spoke about, you know, there's just so much that can happen with consumption of resources that are curated and really thoughtfully brought to different students, but then also that creation piece. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, when it comes to climate change education, and we're thinking about taking kids online or using ed tech tools in different ways, where do media literacy or research skills come into play?
This is a perfect spot for those goals that we need to accomplish. And I know a lot of our standards across the US are integrating media literacy and research skills. And so for us, that's the beginning. We always start with that. With climate change, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of different information, a lot based on opinions. So we talk to our students who we're working with, and our teachers too. We're all learners in this process, that they have this opportunity to be stewards of truth and accuracy. So how do you do that? How do you think about, and we have no assumptions. We try to remove all assumptions, and we are really explicit in the words we use. We want to make sure we have a shared vocabulary. So we start our projects with this idea of a trusted expert. Mm-hmm. And who is a trusted expert? What are the qualities of a trusted expert? And because a lot of times someone might be like, well, they said da 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 da. And it's like, I always am like, well, hold on, let's go back. Yeah. Who's they? Uh-huh. And then people they're kind of like, you know, they're take a moment like, well, I'm not actually sure who they is. And then, so when we think about a trusted expert, that can be an organization. We even look at, like with the project we did with the Climate Action Project, we looked at logos and thought about, do you kind of have this like connection with the organizations who you trust? And we said, why do you think WWF picked this panda for their logo? And we think about that and what makes them a trusted expert, a trusted source of information. For me, like you're a trusted source of information. My family members are trusted sources of information. These are people that I really rely on. So it's not just these big experts out in the world. It's my small circle too. And then, so then once you establish who are your trusted experts, then you start to look more at the stories and the data and the connection between those. So we do a lot of work with interviews, intergenerational interviews. When we talk about climate change, what was the weather like when your grandparents were your age and you talked to them about that? What are the changes they've seen? I know if someone were to talk to me, I live in Florida, about the weather conditions when I was really young, and I talked to my own children about this. You know, we have hurricanes, but we wouldn't have tremendous hurricanes, you know, and we barely would see them. Now we get them all the time. So we see weather patterns changing. What are the differences between weather and climate? So media literacy research, I think part of everything we're doing, the that data, those stories, protecting the richness of humanity, I think, in the work that we're doing, even though it's so at the core science related. These are really stories about people.
I love the way you position just the trusted expert journey, right? Of where you might start, how you might have a conversation with a first grader, right? Would be different than say an eighth grader who's reviewing resources from say the World Wildlife Foundation, right? Or another great spot when they're looking to evaluate different resources and use some of those critical thinking skills. And, you know, it's really a perfect way to meet some of the goals that someone has around even, you know, ELA skills that might come into a different conversation, or these skills that we know are so important in all the ways that we work within online spaces. So I love that media literacy connection so much. And, you know, as we're thinking forward, right, thinking January together today, I would love to talk a little bit about the Goals Project. And I know it's taking place January 24th, which is about 2 weeks from when this episode will go live, through March 6th of this 2022 year. So kicking off just a week or so from, you know, when we go live here, we're kind of right in that nice range. Tell me about the Goals Project. What is it? What your experience has been like, and what people should know if they want to get involved?
Yes. So we are gearing up. We are so excited. Registration is still open. I'll tell you all about it. And the opportunities are available for anyone, anywhere. And so the Goals Project, this is also a 6-week global collaboration project where classrooms who work with students ages 4 all the way up through university can come together to jump into the global goals. So the global goals being this framework, this map of how we can get to the future successfully by 2030. So 17 sustainable development goals. We have a goal of our own with education, which is number 4, quality education. Climate change has a goal, which is 13. There's goals around gender equality and poverty and sustainable cities. So we have all of these goals. And then teachers that join in will be assigned to a group. And that's the beginning of the project. We have this like unboxing experience. So our classrooms are gifted a goal. And then we say, you know, put it in a box and wrap it with a bow and put it in the center of your classroom. And I have some discussions. What do you think your goal is going to be? Have some guesses. What do you hope it will be? Mm-hmm. And then that you have that big reveal, and then they get to know the 17 goals. They get to know the work of the UN. We talk a lot about student activism and the work that young people can and already are doing today. Mm-hmm. And that these small actions collectively can make tremendous change. So they get to know their individual goal. They're going to come up with a solution that can look at the level of self, like something that individuals in the classroom can do, a class, a school, a community, or a world. Like it really is up to the individual classrooms on where they want to take it. And then we finish up as we start to move towards the end with week 5 around packaging that solution. So kind of going back to your thoughts on media literacy. So how do you share those stories and your ideas beyond the walls of your classroom? So a lot of our students will present it, and the only thing they need to end with is some sort of link. And so some of our students they'll use Book Creator and they'll create a book that they'll publish and share with the world. Some will do a theater production. Some will make a website. Some will end with just a question. And that is absolutely fine because 6 weeks is fast and they're going to need in some cases, more time. And so we just want to get them thinking. They go deep in the process, which for some of our teachers in the beginning, they're like, hold up, where's my rubric? Where's my step-by-step directions? And it's like, we don't have any of that. This is really going to be created with you and your students. And so week 6 is our finale, and we have a big celebration of learning. Last year, we did our event and we had the plenary session with one of the undersecretary generals from the United Nations. We had our official poem, our official dance, our official song, and official artwork, which actually was from a group in Thailand, a kindergarten group that was beautiful. So we have this amazing celebration, and then we ask what next. So climate is a big theme. Last year, it was environmental stewardship. We're going to look at a lot with food science this year and how it relates to climate and the planet. And so goalsproject.org, if anyone is interested in joining in or just kind of popping over, there's lessons available. Everything is open access and we'd love to have you take a look.
That's perfect. And I will make sure to put that goalsproject.org clickable link in the show notes so people can find it. And it's really, you know, such a great way to take a big topic like our topic today of climate change education and go for that next step, right? And not wonder how can I do this or what should I do next? Like this is what someone can do next if they're interested and committed to this, or, you know, if they're say a media specialist or digital learning coach listening today and are making some recommendations or looking to do a project with a group of students. I just love that it is ready to go. There's a format and all of those, you know, there's a structure, I guess is the word I'm looking for there, but there's the ability to customize that experience for your group, you know, to really make it your own. And, you know, it's interesting thinking about this idea of the Goals Project, just climate education in general, because, you know, I know you have a book and we've had a few different ISTE authors on the podcast and we'll have a couple more popping up this year, you know, all about ed tech for social good. So Teach Boldly is the official title, but then Using Ed Tech for Social Good. So what will readers find in this book if they're looking for a professional learning resource around these big ideas?
You know, I was so happy when ISTE came to me years ago and said, we're interested in doing this book. And so I've been talking around global collaboration and social good, and of course, anchoring that with ed tech for a long time. And so they were thinking, we're starting to see, and this was well before the pandemic, you know, we weren't really seeing a lot of global collaboration happening at the time, but they were like, we kind of think we might want to do something around global collaboration. And I was like, perfect. I see global collaboration as part of this bigger idea though of using ed tech for social good. And they're like, great, we're in. So they kind of took that risk on me. And what I find is when we think about things like social good, for a long time, we had teachers a little uncertain saying, well, social good has been reserved more for this field of social work. Yeah. And, you know, me going through my teacher training, and that's not really something that was hit on. I think we're seeing a lot of changes now, but what Teach Boldly is positioned to do is just be that practical guide for teachers. I was able to spotlight you, and we talked a lot about digital media and media literacy. But this is for teachers. It doesn't matter what grade, what class you teach, content area, but teachers who are ready to do the work with students to activate on social good. There's a heavy emphasis on ed tech because I think that is just the, you know, good teaching and learning in the future and today. But how we as teachers, I believe education is that chance where this we have this collective power to really change the world. So we go through the human-centered design process, talk about a lot of stories, a lot of teachers who have been doing this work, and also students. I'm able to spotlight some awesome young people. And then kind of ending with professional development. So how do you start with you as you enter into this work around social good and student activism? So I'm working on another book, a follow-up book with Billy Spicer. I know friend of both of ours. Yeah, it will be with ISTE, and it will be a more of kind of going into lesson ideas and spotlighting some teachers who are doing the work as well. So that should come out next year in 2020 or this year in 2022. So really
that's exciting.
About that.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And, you know, it's interesting when we think about these pieces, and I know social emotional learning has been such at the forefront of conversations, you know, this school year, last school year, and hopefully continuing to move forward. And, you know, there's just a lot of connections and all of the things we've talked about today to taking on someone's perspective or working with a group or making decisions and evaluate, you know, so there's just so many things that this is, you know, not just something for one type of classroom or one type of teacher. You know, there's so many reasons to explore, you know, climate change education. And I really appreciate you breaking down the different ways of entry, you know, that people can come into, you know, after listening today, whether it's signing up for the Goals Project, checking out your book and resources, right? Or even just thinking about some of the connections to what they're already doing, perhaps around media literacy or social emotional learning. And so, Jen, I want to make sure everyone knows where to find you. I will put some links where anyone's listening to this podcast episode, but tell us, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn a bit more about your work?
That'd be great, Monica. Thank you so much. So I am across social media at Jen, J-E-N, Williams, E-D-U. And I also have more on my website, which I know is linked in your show notes, jenwilliamsedu.com. We have Take Action Global's website with the project. So would love to connect with anyone and just to also hear about what's working in your classroom, because we have some great things coming up this year that we'd love to work closely with teachers who are already doing this work. So please reach out. I would love to chat.
Well, thank you so much for jumping in today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Monica. Talk to you soon.
It was so much fun chatting with Jen on the podcast today, and there's a lot to unpack, a lot of great pieces of information that you can put into action right away. I love how she made connections to things that might already be happening in a classroom, like a commitment to evaluation or research and other English language arts skills, as well as pieces you might want to explore, like media literacy connections. Now, I'm going to make sure to link out to the Goals Project, which Jen chatted about with me here in this episode, and there's still time to join in if you're committed or interested even in the idea of climate change education. This is the perfect way to get started. Let's finish up this episode, like we always do, by making this EdTech easy. First, think of yourself as a co-learner. Next, examine cross-curricular connections. Then, strengthen media literacy skills. And finally, explore the Goals Project. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all the ways to connect with Dr. Jennifer Williams, by heading to the podcast page, classtechtips.com/podcast, and finding today's episode number 145. You'll also find the link in the show notes part of the description right here, whatever app you're listening to this podcast. A big thank you to Swank K-12 Streaming for sponsoring this episode. If you're looking for better ways to teach with movies, I would take a look at their educational film streaming platforms. With more than 30,000 films and school-specific curated collections, diving deeper into any subject area can be as simple as pressing play with Swank K-12 Streaming. Email k12streaming@swankmp.com to learn more. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment today and are feeling extra helpful, please leave a 5-star rating or a short review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. If you're listening on Spotify, the rating option is new this year. So if you haven't looked for it, you can find the stars right underneath the episode title, and you can tap and leave a rating there as well. Have a great week, and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.